Welcome to another edition of Giants Online here on Giants.com. I'm Bob Pappas. We get you set for the Giants and San Diego Chargers. Joining me as always, my co-host, the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon. Did you have a good Hanukkah? Got through the 8 days?
Not as good as my kids. And my wife is happy that it's over. And yes, I had a great Hanukkah.
Well, that's good. And the Giants got a win for you during the Hanukkah.
That's correct.
Nice celebration.
Little Hanukkah gift.
We welcome in
here we
our
go.
Character,
Prop
our
boy.
Esteemed colleague, Fooch.
A return of Eli. 14-0, got the running game going, and right before the half, big boost. Big props out to Eli Manning getting it done this week.
That's the second time you've used a,
no, this is
a Dunkin' Donuts.
This ad. Is 12 munchkins that comes with it.
Nice. You are. Doesn't you're one it. Of the 12 munchkins.
Big boost, Bobby, this week. Eli Manning.
Art Stapleton brings a more level-headed approach to things.
Really?
He covers the Giants from the record.
In
Art.
Theory, in theory. Yeah, and that drive that changed the game down 14-0, that was an audible to the run, Deal told us after the game. Big blocks by Deal and Pugh, and then, I mean,
Connor.
John Connor,
right.
Every single week. I mean, he's got a highlight hit that you just shake your head. Reed Dowdy ended up with a concussion after that, and it was just a picture-perfect drive, and you kind of shake your head and say, where's that been, you know,
but how
five,
about,
six, 7 weeks?
But how about down 14-7, then Eli decides now he's going to pick him apart. He finds the tight end finally.
Yeah.
If tight end appeared.
And poor Brandon Myers.
That's got a tight end now.
Yeah, but it all started with the run.
No
yeah.
doubt about it.
It all started with
no
the
doubt
run.
About and the that, play action.
And that play fake that Eli gave on that touchdown to Myers was incredible.
Yeah,
it was. And somebody's got to change Myers' cleats or something, because the guy, it seems like he falls down every time the ball's coming his way.
I think he's nervous.
I don't know. I don't know if he's having flashbacks to Chicago, but, I mean, every time the ball's coming his way, I mean, and granted, give him credit, but, you know, it just seems like he's tumbling every time he catches the ball.
Uh-oh. I detect a
equipped segment with Joe
Skiba. Right. In fact, we can pull him in and put him on the panel right now.
Well, another guy that we should tip our cap to is Peyton Hillis,
yes.
who... You know, they used him when he first got here. He put the ball on the ground a few times. Jacobs got healthy. But
went on the shelf.
Hillis did a really nice job in that very important drive.
No doubt about it.
Fresh legs. I mean, not that his legs weren't fresh, but, you know, sitting on the couch for a couple weeks. But
I was impressed he wasn't rusty. I mean, he comes off and boom, right away, you know, 12 yards right up. I'm like, well,
you know what?
Now.
I give him credit, too, because, you know, he was inactive and he was a healthy scratch, basically, from
yes.
what we were told.
Yes.
And he comes back. I mean, and he talked about the idea that
you can't dress,
you know,
14 running backs now.
You guys might try for the entire season, but we'll see. But I think Hillis, you know, he does embody that. You know, that mentality of being a pro in this run. And as bad as things have been, the Giants have had some players like that that have come in and chipped in and know their role and actually contributed when things have gone well.
And I think it's brought a new identity to this year's football team that they wanted to have at the beginning. Unfortunately, they didn't have it.
Right.
But they're a overpowering run game. Come up and try and stop us, and then we'll hit you deep with the play-action pass.
Well, listen,
unfortunately, they didn't have that at the beginning of the year.
Well, the other night, we're down 14-0, and now you're either going to do it right now or this thing's going to get away from
right.
you. And you know that you and your friends up in the press box where all the Giants are getting outclassed and this and that. And you know what? We did exactly what we had to do.
Mono,
we
mono.
Responded. We gave the defense a chance to regroup and figure out what was happening to them. When they were on the field, and you responded
the way you should have early in the season when you were pushed up against the wall a couple times in key games, and the other team was able to level you with a knockout punch, and that shows, you know, one of those things where when things went wrong during the winless streak, that had you made a couple plays, you know, this season we'd be talking about a heck of a lot differently than what we are now.
Absolutely.
And the impressive thing is the Redskins are a good run-stopping team. So it wasn't like it was mano a mano. They knew you were coming,
right.
And the Giants will.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to answer some of your questions via Twitter as we continue with Giants Online here on Giants.com.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Welcome back to Giants Online here on Giants.com. All right, this is the fun part where we get you to participate. So we ask for questions via Twitter at Giants. Are you ready, Senior Hanlon?
Fun for who? Fun for Hanlon? Is it
fun for everybody?
Okay.
At EstConk85.
You need to start looking at these handles before we do this segment.
In the offseason, do you think the Giants should try? Wait a second. I do. They come to me. In the offseason, do you think the Giants should try moving Justin Pugh to center?
Well, I mean, that seems like a sound decision. You take your one offensive lineman that's played exceptionally well at times this year and move him to a position that he's never played before. It's absurd.
You take your rookie offensive lineman who's learning how to be a right tackle and say, oh, by the way.
Right.
I know he's versatile, but this is getting crazy.
Which I might be maybe in the minority here, but I actually like Booth at center. I do too. I don't know why I wanted to see him there before.
If I'm the Giants, I'm bringing back Booth and Cordell at center
I'm
going to strengthen my other spots on this line. And I think Booth and Cordell can do the job at center with Booth as the starter and Cordell as the backup.
Listen, the first priority is a healthy David Boss at center. That's the first. But unfortunately,
that may not be
healthy.
That may not be the case.
That's right.
I feel bad for Jim Cordell. It's just a nice kid. He finally got a chance, and he was starting to develop, and he was starting to play better and get into a rhythm, and then the poor guy gets hurt.
That's unfortunate. The great thing for him, though, is he finally got a chance to get on the field, and he held his own out there.
I think he showed enough that they're going to bring him back next year.
I mean, how would you like to be him in your first career start lining up against that Kansas City front?
He held his own.
Listen, you can tell how much we appreciate him when you hear Tom Coughlin talk about him.
Right.
And talk about how many times, you know, Cordell's on his way back to Ohio driving on the Ohio Turnpike and we get him on the phone and say, get back here, we got a spot for you.
All right.
You know? So
good. Well, hopefully he can come back okay. All right. Bill 315, what has been the key to the turnaround in the running game?
I definitely think the fullback has a lot to play, but I also think, everybody knew when Brown came back, he was going to get the running game going. I mean, what he did last year wasn't a fluke.
And this offense got into a rhythm, I think. I think this offensive line has been suspect in the pass game all year long.
How many combinations of offensive line have we started
I
this
think
year?
This last past week was either sixth or seventh
I think
different
it was
combination.
The sixth. Right.
So, you know, you're talking about an offensive line that actually, you know, as much as Dave Deal has gotten a lot of hate
that was helpful
criticism,
him getting him back healthy.
You know, he's back healthy and he's also been pretty well. He's done pretty well in the run block schemes that the Giants have run. So I think the combination of Connor at fullback, this offensive line has gotten into a little bit of a rhythm. They've played together. There's some continuity.
Well, especially on the right side, they've played together.
But already the biggest thing is Brown doesn't go down on an arm tackle. He'll take your arm with you. He showed it on the goal line last week against the Redskins. He's going to fight. He's going to scratch. He's going to get into the end zone. Earlier in the year, you had guys going down on arm tackles.
And I tell you what, it actually benefited them to have Brandon Jacobs and Peyton Hillis here to know that, you know, if you had just gone with Jacobs and ran him into the ground and then didn't bring Hillis in because you were forced to, you know, right now you'd be sitting looking at it going, all right, well, David Wilson's gone, Andre Brown.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
it'd
Cox
be Andre
is playing.
Brown and Michael Cox.
Exactly, and that's a big difference.
All right, at Chip Clip wants to know, why has the defensive line been able to get more pressure these last few games?
Yeah.
The Tuck thing is a mystery to me. What? Four sacks, he doubles his... Look, he's played consistent all year long.
Yes, he's had... You know,
there's no doubt about
he's
that.
He's had a very good
like
run.
He just showed up the other night in Washington.
No, he's been great against the run.
He finally got the
payoff.
But
he did double
of
his sacks.
Performance.
He had four in one game.
Well, I mean...
And as OC said, you were close to this six.
Six.
I mean, he has three games. That Tuck, in his career, has three games of 3.5 sacks or more. And there are only two other players in Giants history that have had that many, Lawrence Taylor and Michael Strahan. You know, Justin Tuck has gotten a lot of credit, and I think if he didn't perform the way he did in the Super Bowl, people might have a different perception of him as a player. you know, they looked at him as a guy who got sacks in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden he was going to be the next Strahan. And Justin Tuck is not that
kind of player.
Justin Tuck is a great run-stopping defensive end. And in today's NFL, if you stop the run as a defensive end and you don't put up sack numbers, you're a terrible player, quote-unquote. And that's just not fair to Tuck.
Well, you're not a terrible player, but they're looking for somebody else who can get to the quarterback a little bit more.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Go ahead.
We'll start the next segment.
Yeah, we'll start the next segment with a musing from Pat Hanlon as we return to Giants Online here on Giants.com.
MSG has the best big blue shows, like Giants First and 10, 10 Things to Know for Sunday's Game, and Giants Rewind, where we break down last Sunday's action, two reasons why the only true blue home for true blue fans is MSG.
Back here on Giants Online on Giants.com. All right, before we went to our break.
More talk. What I like about Tuck is how he has led by example. We all know that the last couple years, his health has been a question, and he's allowed that to bog him down mentally, and we haven't seen any of that this year. He stayed healthy, but B, I think he came in with a different attitude in terms of how he was going to approach the season from a mental standpoint.
And let's face it, he needed to. This is a contract year. He needed to come in with that kind of approach.
And what impressed me also is that the way this entire defense changed when John Beeson came in, you know, Justin Tuck could have stood up, and we know the relationship between Beeson and Roll, you know, buddies from the U, but Tuck could have stood up and said, you know what, I don't want a guy coming in here thinking all of a sudden he's the leader getting all this credit for the defense that I've been a captain of for the last couple of years. So I do give Tuck credit on that respect, is that he did welcome Beeson in, and it was almost a Tuck-Beeson role situation as far as the leaders on this defense.
I think good players want to be surrounded by good players.
I agree with that.
And also, you can have more than one leader on a unit, and you just said it. There's leadership at every level of the defense now.
And don't forget Terrell Thomas, too. He has really emerged.
And they're going to need a lot of leadership this week, Bobby, because Eli goes back to San Diego against Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's
who's having a great, great year, by the way.
He really is. Do you guys get all fired up about it? You know, the whole Eli, to me, it's kind of water under the bridge.
Well look, it worked out well for the Giants.
It's big out there.
It's huge out there. In fact, Jerry Shea, our former scout who lives in San Diego, I talked to him earlier this week, and he fell asleep the other night watching the local news, and he's half awake, and he hears the sportscaster going nuts about Eli coming back. The guy that snubbed San Diego is coming back. He thought he was having a flashback to 10 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. They got their vengeance that one game. I mean, he went out there the first time. I mean, they were screaming at Eli the whole game.
And he played great that game.
He did, but my point is they got the results. But
that wasn't Phil Rivers. That was Drew Brees.
Right. But I think they're looking at the two Super Bowls and what might have been, maybe, you know, if Eli had gone to
San Diego. Speaking of talk.
Yeah.
What else happened in that game? We got beat in that game. Eli Storm brought the team back. But what else happened in that game, speaking of Tuck? He tracked your Sirius Radio co-host, Wednesday co-host, down from across the field.
That's right.
Which was an impressive feat.
It's so funny because I was on a couple of San Diego radio stations this week, and the first question is about, you know, Eli and Philip. Is that the big buzz in New York? I said,
no.
No, the big buzz is whether the Yankees are going to sign Robinson Cano.
and when are the Nets and Knicks going to win?
Yeah, and can the Rangers with this new head coach? And the guy was shocked. I'm like,
well, you know,
the Giants won two Super Bowls. They don't really care about the Philip Rivers.
Well, you blame for that the reason why this game isn't getting as much hype?
Well, that's
Tony Romo. Because if the Giants win that game,
that's true.
The Giants are sitting at
Romo's
6-6.
Here we are. We're blaming Romo again.
Poor Tony. All right, I need your prediction for this week.
Well, this is a tough one for the Giants to go on the road again and get a win, even though I liked them against the Redskins. I think they fall short this week, 24-21.
Artie?
I'm going to go with the Chargers, too, 28-24.
28-24, huh?
Yep.
They're 5-7, too, you know.
Hey, listen, I can't pick them every week, you know.
They're all tough. All right. They're all tough.
On the road, they're really tough.
All right. Well, we're going to We're going to head out to San Diego, and we'll be back again next week here on Giants.com. So enjoy the Giants and Chargers. For Pat Hanlon and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa, and Fooch and Artie. We'll see what prop Fooch has next week. You've been watching Giants Online here on Giants.com.